Psalm 23. Let's hear the word of the Lord. It says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures, and he leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul, he leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Amen. Let's just pray before we come to the preaching of the word. Our Father in heaven, we humbly come before thee today, confessing our utter emptiness, our utter helplessness without thee. As we come to thy word, dear God, we know that we are prone, Father, for our hearts and our minds to wander. The circumstances of a week that has passed and the difficulties that are still outstanding, and then in a week that we're going into, the many different events that will take place can so often rob us of our attention for these moments. But we cry to thee that thou wilt shut us into God. Pray, Heavenly Father, that you'll encircle this building about with precious blood. Pray, Heavenly Father, that you'll bind every wicked and foul spirit that would come against the preaching of thy word, and thou wilt grant thy servant unction and power. O God, we pray that thou wouldst anoint my head with oil, and that my cup would run over. We pray, Heavenly Father, that you'll come today, minister to every waiting soul. The need is vast, but God is greater than all of our need. And so we pray that God would supply the need, and that every waiting soul might be ministered unto. By the end of the meeting, that men and women, young people, children, would be able to say, the Lord drew near and went with us today. Guide us in the word. Open our understanding and open our eyes that we may behold wondrous things out of thy law. So come, blessed Spirit of God, our teacher be, showing the things of Christ to me. Come by, we pray this in Jesus' precious and wondrous name. Amen and amen. We have come to the 15th message in our series within the 23rd Psalm, and I trust that our study has been profitable to you as we have steadily made our way through this pearl of a psalm. There is just one more message that I want to draw to your attention and bring to you after today's message. But drawing his thoughts to a close in the 6th verse, the psalmist David finds himself looking over his past with a sense of appreciation, whilst at the same time he looks into the future with a sense of anticipation. As David considered what God had already done for him in the verses 1 to 5, by providing him divine rest, divine refreshment, divine restoration, divine righteousness, divine protection, divine comfort, divine provision, divine anointing, and divine profusion, with a heart overflowing with gratitude, David was able to say in the opening clause of the verse number 6, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life." We want to consider those words today in a message that I've entitled, "The Sheep's Backward Glance and Forward Gaze." The Sheep's Backward Glance and Forward Gaze. There are times in our Christian lives when it's good to review all the way that the Lord has led us. Through the days of plenty as well as through the days of want. Through times of sunshine as well as times of shadow. through life's valleys as well as over life's mountains. It's not wrong to recall the provision that God has provided, the power that He's given, the grace that He has bestowed as we've chartered our way through the rocky seas of life. And this is what David does as he stands on the threshold of this verse, as he casts, as it were, his eyes backward quickly for a glance. And as he does so, he views there all that God has done for him, and in seeing that all, it inspires the psalmist to now say, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life." From these words, I want you to notice, first of all, provision for life's days. I want you to see that there's provision for life's days. Keeping the imagery of the shepherd and the sheep before our minds, someone has remarked that they believe that goodness and mercy were the shepherd's two sheepdogs. As the shepherd would go before his flock, the sheep would try to, as it were, sneak off the road, while others would lag behind as the shepherd had his back turned. And that the shepherd had nothing to fear, for the sheepdogs, goodness and mercy, would circle the flock and turn the strained ones back into the way and encourage the lagging ones to quicken their pace. Thus every angle of the sheep was covered, well protected, under the shepherd's direction. The shepherd would go before, destroying all of the enemies that lay on before, and then goodness and mercy would bring up the rear and protect it from their attack from the back. C.H. Spurgeon, he used different imagery for goodness and mercy. He called them God's footmen. In Spurgeon's day, whenever a wealthy man traveled, two footmen took their place behind that individual on his coach. Their task was to smooth the way for them. Where he went, they went. When the coach stopped, they would have quickly jumped down and opened the door for their master. They would then hurry into the inn, make sure that his room was ready and that his dinner and supper was served. In a similar manner, God's two footmen, goodness and mercy, they follow us in order to smooth our journey towards heaven and towards home. When God sees any man or woman, He does not leave that individual to face life's temptations and battles on their own. Having been indwelt by the Spirit of God, the Christian is also supported by two heavenly attendants, goodness and mercy. I want us to consider God's provision for life's days under three headings. I want you to consider the completeness of the provision. The completeness of the provision for all of life's days. Notice that the psalmist did not say that health and that wealth and that success would follow us all the days of our lives. None of us are guaranteed that. In actual fact, it's quite the opposite. The Christian is reminded by Christ Himself that we must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. All those who know Christ and who live godly lives shall suffer persecution. And yet God does provide His children with a complete provision. In His goodness and mercy, He provides provision to meet and overcome everything that providence brings across our pathway. What can we say about goodness and mercy? Well, God's goodness is exercised towards mankind in various ways. His goodness is seen, first of all, in His benevolence, or in His kindness towards us. This is the goodness of God towards every one of His creatures in general. He deals bountifully with all of His creatures, Psalm 145, and the verses 9 and 16, we read these words. "The Lord is good to all, and His tender mercies are over all His works." Verse 16, Psalm 145. "Thou openest thine hand, and satisfieth the desire of every living thing." God's goodness is seen towards his creatures in general. As Matthew 5:45 reminds us, that man is in general a beneficiary of God's goodness. God in grace sends rain and sunshine upon the earth needed for the growth of crops in order to provide us food. And so we see God's goodness in his kindness towards us, or his benevolence towards us. But we also see God's goodness in his love for us. Mark it well. The greatest expedition, an exhibition of divine goodness in terms of love, is seen in the sending of Christ to be the Savior of sinful men. 1 John 4:9-10, "In this was manifest the love of God toward us, that in while that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we loved him, but that he first loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins." Today, I am loved by God. I am loved by a special, particular, unceasing love. This is God's goodness to all of his children. God contemplates me, his child, through the eternal covenant that he has forged with the rest of the members of the Godhead. I am seen in Christ today. This is God's goodness, his love towards us. But divine goodness is also seen in God's long-suffering toward us. The Old Testament term long-suffering, it literally means long of face. Long of face. It denotes the patience of God towards those who continue long in their disobedience. God's long-suffering is seen in the postponement of his judgment upon sinful man. The postponement of wrath against sinners who continue in their sin, even though they have been admonished and warned day after day, repeatedly after repeatedly. God's long-suffering spares the sinner. Paul would bring the long-suffering and the goodness of God together in Romans chapter 2 and the verse number 4. He speaks there to those who have despised the long-suffering, the patience of God with regard to their sin. He says to them there in Romans 2:4, "Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance." It is God's goodness that brings any man or woman to that moment of accepting Jesus Christ. It is all in God's goodness that we are saved today. I, but sinner, it's God's goodness in his long-suffering towards you that you've been spared to this moment of time, this meeting, to this day. And Christ would ask you to enter in and to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. You should no longer presume on his long-suffering. But today you must repose yourself on the sacrifice of Christ for salvation from sin and hell. But God's goodness is also seen in his mercy. In his mercy. Mercy is simply the goodness of God shown to those who are in a state of misery and distress because of their sin. Mercy is the goodness of God shown to those who are in a state of misery and distress because of their sin. In Christ today, there is mercy. There is pardoning mercy. Who is a pardoning God like thee? But there is forgiveness with the Lord. There is pardoning mercy. There is protecting mercy. How God would shield us and protect us. This is the mercy of God towards us as his redeemed children. Aye, and we have the sustaining mercy of God. He gives us grace for every day and for every trial. And we have supplying mercy. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. All of this in the mercy of God. Bringing goodness and mercy together. One preacher, he wrote, "Goodness is God's provision of the blessings we do not deserve. Mercy is God's withholding of the punishment that we do deserve. Another preacher said, goodness supplies our needs. Mercy blots out our sins. Epi Meyer said concerning the goodness and mercy of God, he said, not goodness alone. The psalmist did not say, surely goodness shall follow me. Not goodness alone, for we are sinners needing forgiveness. I am not mercy alone, for we need many things beside forgiveness, but each with the other linked. Goodness to supply every want. Mercy to forgive every sin. Goodness to provide. Mercy to pardon. It's a wonderful truth to contemplate, child of God, that the believer can never outrun the mercy and the goodness of God. You see, the psalmist said, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. You see that little word follow in the Hebrew? It means to pursue with hotness. In other words, mercy and goodness pursues the Christian. Everywhere they go, goodness and mercy are found following. These heavenly attendants track us throughout life's trying days. Through God's goodness, our daily practical needs are met. I and by God's mercy, our spiritual needs are met. And that's why I said the completeness of this provision. Enough for the body, but also enough for the soul. Goodness for the body, mercy for the soul. It is a complete provision that our great shepherd provides for us, his sheep. Let us then rejoice in the fact that both my physical and my spiritual needs will be met completely by my heavenly shepherd and the provision that he has made in his goodness and in his mercy for me. There's a second thing to note about God's provision, and that is the certainty of the provision. The certainty. Not only the completeness of this provision, there is the certainty of the provision. The psalmist said, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Did you note the double emphasis that's placed on the certainty of God's goodness within the verse? Did you notice the two words that bring us that certainty? Surely and shall. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. Those two words, they denote assurance. They denote a confidence. They denote a firm belief and faith in the great shepherd. David here, he places no question mark over this divine provision. He's sure. He's certain. He's confident that God's goodness and mercy would assist him every day of his life. Matthew Henry remarked concerning the certainty of this provision. He said, it is as sure. It is as sure as the promise of the God of truth can make it. And we know whom we have believed. As a child of God, you too can be sure. God's goodness and mercy will follow you all the days of your life. Why can you be so sure? You may sit here, well, how can I be so sure that goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life? Because God is God. That's how. Because God is God. That's how you can be sure. Because God is unchangeable. God is everlasting. He cannot deny himself. And his gifts are without repentance. And what he has said, he must do. He must do. That's how you can be sure. Let me quote F.B. Meyer again on this little word, surely. This is what he wrote, surely. Because God has never failed in the past. That's why he said surely. God has never failed in the past. Surely, because it would not become him to take in hand and not to complete. Surely, because he has pledged himself by exceeding great and precious promises. Surely because the united testimony of his saints attests that he never fails or forsakes. Surely because if he has set his love on us in eternity, he is not likely to forget us in time. So surely shall never a day come in our earthly pilgrimage in which God shall not be at our side in goodness and mercy. Surely, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. There are many Christians and they suffer from what is known as Lot's wife syndrome. Don't know if you suffer from that. I've suffered that at times. It's called Lot's wife syndrome. What is it? It's simply that looking behind. We often do that, don't we? We look behind at our lives and we fall into a place of despair. But you see that little phrase, follow me. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. That little phrase, that two-worded phrase, it should put an end to all of your fears. And it should put an end to all of your doubts. And it should put an end to that syndrome in your life. Because every time you look back over your shoulder, what do you see? Goodness and mercy. Goodness and mercy. Goodness and mercy of God pursuing us. Maybe you're in this meeting today and you fear about the sins of your past and how Satan knows that, and you're worried about them being brought against you, even though you've confessed them, even though you've repented of them, yet the devil comes and reminds you of your sinful life in the past. But listen to me, brother and sister. As you look back, mercy covers your sins. Covers your sins. The mercy of God has dealt with those sins. Those sins that you've confessed, God's mercy has covered them. Aye. And for those of you who look into the future and you don't know what way it's going to go in your family and you don't know what the future holds and you're anxious and you're worried, well then can I counsel you today? Just take a quick glance over your shoulder and see goodness pursuing you. See God's goodness. And as you glance behind and see God's goodness and how God's goodness has brought you to this moment, could I then encourage you to raise an Ebenezer? Cry, hitherto hath the Lord helped us, and then press on with fresh courage, brother and sister. The goodness of God. And as we look behind us, it's hotly pursuing after us. The goodness of God. Do you know what goodness and mercy are doing? Goodness and mercy are driving us to home. Driving us home. God's goodness and mercy. There's a third thing to notice about the provision that God makes for his own. And that is the continuance of the provision. God's goodness and mercy does not merely follow us now and then. But it is said to follow us all the days of our lives. These heavenly messengers, they will not forsake us, but they will be our constant companions in our dark days as well as our bright days. Is it not the case? It's not the case that it's goodness one day and evil the next. And it's not the case that it's mercy one day and judgment the next. Rather, it's goodness and mercy every day. Every day of the life. Now, how easy it is for us to say that goodness and mercy follows us when our health is good, when our bank balances are in the black, when the family and when our families are in that state of harmony. Aye, and it's easy to say when our friends are fond of us. Easy to say goodness and mercy follows us, but it's much more difficult to say that goodness and mercy is following us and tracking us whenever our bodies break down and our health fails. It's harder to say that goodness and mercy is following me whenever I find my dear loved one lying on a bed of sickness and I see their health deteriorating. It's harder to say that goodness and mercy is following us whenever the bank account's in the red, whenever the place of employment folds up, whenever the family is at loggerheads with one another, and whenever my friends forsake me, and whenever my friends turn against me. It's harder to say that goodness and mercy is following me then. And we come to ourselves and we come to the point in our life when we ask ourselves this question, is God's goodness and mercy following me? Can I say to you, brother and sister, this verse answers that question in the affirmative. Yes. Yes, when health fails, when money's low, when unemployment looms, when families disintegrate, when friends abandon us, goodness and mercy still follows me, because it tells me in this verse that they pursue me all the days of my life. All the days. Every day. Christ promised to love his own unto the end. Having loved his own, he loved them to the end. And that being the case, his goodness and mercy, his goodness and mercy will surround us in every chapter of life. Goodness and mercy of God. Now we have considered from the words, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. We have noticed from those words the provision for life's days. But I want us to think in closing about, and it is a shorter point, the passing of life's days. The passing of life's days. The journey from the cradle to the grave in this highly paced age seems to be but a few short days. In answer to the question that Pharaoh asked Jacob, how old art thou? Jacob, the 130-year-old, remember his age, 130 years of age, Jacob the patriarch said, the days of the years of my pilgrimage are 130 years. Few and evil have the days of the years of my life been, and have not attained unto the days of the years of my fathers in the days of their pilgrimage. Jacob spoke in terms of his days. That's how he spanned his life. That's how he calculated the span of life. He calculated by using that time of period that we know as days. And Moses, he would also do that. He would also refer to his days or his years as but days. Let me show that to you very quickly in Psalm 90. I'll start reading Psalm 90 in the verse 5, and you'll find in these verses, Psalm 90 verse number 9, you'll find that there is a word that appears 5 times in these verses that I read. Psalm 90 and the verse number 9. For all our days are past, away on thy wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told. The days of our years are 70 years, and if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is their strength labour and sorrow, for it is soon cut off and we fly away. Who knoweth the power of thine anger, even according to thy fear, so is thy wrath. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Return, O Lord, how long? And let it repent thee concerning thy servants. O satisfy us early with thy mercy, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Make us glad according to the days wherein thou hast afflicted us, and the years wherein we have seen. In that short period, verses 9 to verse 15, on five different occasions, the word days. Days. Not years. Just days. Life's day is passing for us all. See, we fall into the trap of counting our time on earth, our lifespan. We fall into the trap of counting it in terms of years. There's things within our society that makes us do that. We think of celebrating our anniversary. When do we do that? Will we just do that every year? Maybe the wife would like you to do that every week, but we normally just do it once per year. And then we think about our birthdays, and we're quite glad we're quite glad just to celebrate our birthdays once per year. But you see, we are to measure lifespan not by years. We're to measure them by days. Every day that God gives us is a gift from God. We should prize it as so. And in rising up in the morning, it should never, child of God, it should never be your response when you wake up in the morning, not another day to grind through. That should never be your response. Your response should be another day. Another day to please my Savior. Another day to witness to my loved ones. Another day to live for Jesus Christ. Another day to live. Another day to pray. Another day to win my battles. Another day to win my crown. God's given me another day. We should calculate how best we could use that day to advance Christ's cause and Christ's kingdom. You see, there's many Christians, and they waste their days. They spend their time, invest their energy into other organizations, other activities, other pursuits. Let me say, child of God, that all of these things must be subservient. Subservient to the cause of Jesus Christ. To the cause of Jesus Christ. I read this good counsel this week. Remember, the writer said, remember that life at the longest is very short. Therefore, do at once that which you feel you ought to do at all. Yea, do first that which is most important. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And then he gives counsel to three different age groups of men. He said, young man, do not leave it to a future day, but do it now, that all your life may be one of usefulness and enjoyment. Men of middle age, you have a vivid sense of the rapidity by which your years have gone, but they will go just as rapidly in the future as in the past, and you will be on your deathbed before you know it. Therefore, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. And then he said, men of old age, you have to make haste, for you have no time to lose. In 1800... when Napoleon Bonaparte came onto the field of the Battle of Morgheno, it was late in the afternoon, and he saw that the battle was almost lost against the Austrians. But looking at the western sun, he said, there is just time to recover the day. There is just time to recover the day. And giving out his orders with that rapid energy by which Napoleon was renowned for, Napoleon on that day turned that battle and turned that seeming defeat into a victory there at the Battle of Morgheno. Sir or madam, your sun is nearing its setting. But there's time. There's present opportunity. There's time to recover the day. There's time to recover the day. Believer, avail yourself of that day. Lest your life should end in an utter blank and eternal failure. Yes, and sinner, there's just time for you to recover the day. You've lived in sin. You've wasted many days. But seize this day. Recover the day. Be saved. Lest your life ends in utter darkness and unending days in God's hell. Oh, may God burn into our hearts the truth that though the sun of life may be setting for us all, there's still time to recover the day. As we close, that may address those who have fears, who fear the present, who dread life's dark road before you. Take heart. Gird yourself with fresh courage. Lift up those hands which hang down low. Confirm those trembling knees. God knows. God Himself knows how many days of life remains for you. He knows your needs. He knows what temptations you'll face, what valleys you'll traverse, what mountains that you'll have to climb, what disappointments you'll suffer. Yet He has pledged, as thy days, so shall thy strength be. And He's also pledged, surely, goodness and mercy shall follow you all the days of your life. We're almost home. We're almost home in the psalm. But may even this truth spur us homeward and spur us heavenward. And let us trust in the great shepherd who is in Himself goodness and mercy personified. He'll follow us, and He'll go before us, and He'll encircle us every day of our lives. May God bless even our considerations here this morning. Let's unite in prayer, please. Our Father in heaven, we've been encouraged ourselves, Lord, as we have thought of this truth. We've been encouraged, Lord, to keep going. We know, Father, that the road at times can be difficult. And Father, the way can be hard. But we thank Thee that You send us these heavenly attendants. And they're encouraging us home. Like a trainer, O God, in regard to an athlete that would stand at the side of the track and spur his student home. So these two, goodness and mercy, they spur us home. And we pray, Father, that we might recover the day. Yes, it may be true, Lord, that we have used our time and other things and other activities, but we thank Thee, Father, that You're able to start us again. You're able to rebalance the life, and You're able to bring us to the place where it's all for God, all for Christ. And everything else comes secondary to that. Oh God, we pray that You'll help us in these days. Father, use Thy word. Let not the evil one snatch it away. Bury it deep within our hearts. And may we know, Father, even the benefit of being in Thy house today. Bless us this afternoon in all that we will do. We pray that, Father, we'll honour Thee in this Thy day, that we will keep it holy, and that we will, Father, have hearts, O God, who delight in Thy Sabbath. Answer prayer and bring us, Father, safely to Thy house again in the will of God this evening, to hear the gospel of our great Saviour. Answer our petitions. We offer them in Jesus' precious name. Amen.